Buenos días.
Good morning.
Well, today we are in a new sermon series. Together we will rebuild. So we are in this season of continue the journey to restoration, to help St. John to learn from Nehemiah and learn from all these principles as we prepare for what is next. And as we read the word today, I'm going to ask you to stand up as we read the word. I went to the court the other day, and when the judge came in, everybody had to stand up. And then the police said, remove your hat, okay? So if that is done for a man, how much can we do for the living God who is the judge of the earth? So stand up as we read the scripture today. Put your hands together if you want to, but God is doing something great. So we're going to read from Nehemiah chapter 1. And I want to encourage you to read with me as we fix this. Done, it's fixed. Okay, the words of Nehemiah, song of... Oh, you're going to read with me? Okay, let's do it. 1, 2, 3, go. The word. In the most of Kislev, in the 23rd year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hannah and I, one of my brothers, came from Judah, with some other men, I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that has survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who side by side are back in the province and in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Things, I sat down and wept for 1 day and more and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keeps his commands, let your ears be attentive to our eyes, open to your prayers, your servant. For the day, the knights, the servants, the people of Israel, I confess the sins which the Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wicked toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you have given your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nation, but if you return to me and obey my commands, even in the exiled people at the farthest horizon, I will gather them and bring them in place. I have chosen the dwelling for my name. You are your servants and your people. I hold you with your great strength in your mighty hand, Lord. Here be attentive to the prayers of his servant and the prayer of the servants who delight in revealing your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of his men. I was a cupbearer to the king. Amen. And the people of God says, amen. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. Now you can sit. So, you know, the public reading of the word was part of Israel practice. And it's done with the purpose of together bringing agreement and alignment with the word of God. So today, we're going to reflect a little bit on Nehemiah and understanding and learning that God often moves his people from season of comfort into season of calling. And God's kingdom work frequently requires us to step beyond our comfort zones into spaces where our hearts break for his purpose. And my hope is that we are all ready to embrace this new season, and God is requiring us to step beyond our comfort zones. Now, I want to start this sermon series with this powerful promise of God in Nehemiah 2:20, and it says, I answered them by saying, this is Nehemiah speaking, the God of heaven will give us what? success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. So this is a promise that when you really align with God and his word, and we are his servants, he will give us success. So the success of this journey is not based on anyone's merits, knowledge, or skills. It's based on God himself, who is blessing us with his presence. And because he's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Host, Jehovah Rapha, he is God, he can be in our midst and give us success and victory. Nehemiah prayed this prayer that you just read together before he went and received the assignment of the Lord. So we're going to learn some principles. We have a big assignment right now from the Lord to step out of our comfort zone, to embrace the future, to start making decisions and bringing the gospel and preaching the gospel, creating a space for new people. We're doing so many things, and in that, God will bless us. But let's learn from Nehemiah what he did. And I believe that we're going to learn so much from him, and all these principles can be applied to St. John. So my hope is that you take note, that you learn and go back online, check the sermon, and write notes, because God is going to give you tools and nuggets, codes, wisdom codes on how to live out this new season. The first step, Nehemiah heard this news from the people of Israel, from the remnant, the people who were left there. And the first thing he says, his heart breaks. And he says, Nehemiah mourned over Jerusalem. So in other words, God only can use people who has a heart for him. So when your heart breaks for him, when your heart breaks for the things that he loved, when your heart breaks for the things that he treasured, then God can use us. One of the reasons we don't see God moving in a mighty, in a powerful way more often is because our hearts are not in alignment with him. And I've been sharing and continue sharing that with you. It's so important that we are in tune with God. And when our hearts are connected to his heart, now we mourn and our hearts breaks for the things that break his heart. To the point that you love what he loves and you hate what he hates. When you get to that stage, God will open doors and bless you. But most importantly, he will give you success in whatever he sends you to do. Sometimes when I go around and I've been teaching churches and people around how to create and how to allow God to reveal the vision, his vision for a church, I say to people all the time, take your car, drive around your city, and tell me where your heart breaks. Because if you drive around the city and you don't feel anything, there's no pain in you, you see the brokenness of the city, no pain in you, it's really hard that God will do something through us because we are disconnected from the pain of the people. But the moment you start breaking, the moment you start tearing up, the moment your heart breaks when you see the brokenness of the world, now God can use you. Because now you are in alignment with him. So my first prayer for you is, God, touch our hearts. So our hearts are now warm and we can feel and we can see and we can touch and we can now understand where people are. And as we do that, we reflect in this opportunity and learn from Nehemiah, who was an expert on turning problems into possibilities. And I'm sure that we all have problems. Anybody here ever had any problems? Okay, so this sermon is for you, right? Because we have problems. So everyone who is listening to me this morning, you are either going into a problem or you are in the midst of one or you are just in the closing stages of your problems. But we are all going through that. And my hope is that we learn when you are in God and you are blessed by God, God will open your eyes to see every single challenge you face as an opportunity for him to manifest, as an opportunity for him to reveal himself. God has many names, and all these names attached to Jehovah are just the person of God revealing himself to us. And as we experience God, then we are going to know him in a new way. So it's not until you are sick that you are going to get this revelation of Jehovah Rapha as your healer. But if you are not sick, guess what? You're not going to experience Jehovah Rapha as your healer. So Jehovah Shalom, he's your peace. It's not until you have problems that you open your heart, your hands and your heart, and you pray to God, and now you have a peace that surpasses all understanding to the point that people think you are crazy because you aren't doing anything and the world is falling down around you. Then you have now a new revelation. Oh, I knew God as Jehovah Rapha because I was sick and he healed me. Now I know God as Jehovah Shalom because now I have peace in the midst of my trials. And that is what God wants us to do. So as we go through all of this journey with Jeremiah, we're going to learn. So he says our congregation's heart breaks for the state of the church and our community. And when we see in the context of Nehemiah, these walls represent both a physical and a spiritual protection of the city. So remember, when you go to the Old Testament, you're going to see this revelation of God through all the Old Testament. But when you go deeper, you're going to see that was basically a war between gods, the gods of the nation. And if your nation was strong, you have a strong God. If your nation is weak and you were conquered, now you have a weak God. So having all these walls destroyed was not good for Israel. It was a message to the world. God is not with you. God is not strong. And when Nehemiah heard this, he said, I need to go back. I need to go back. I need to go and help to rebuild the wall. So my prayer is that as we go together through this sermon series, that you get the same passion to help us to rebuild, to help us to put back every single brick until we see St. John totally restored. So what was the first thing Nehemiah did? He didn't go to a planning meeting. He didn't go and did a capital campaign. He didn't go and ask for money. The first thing we did, what was? He did what? He prayed, right? He prayed and he fasted. It says the power of praying and fasting. So the first thing before he acted, before he did anything, before he acted, before he did anything, he started praying. So prayer is actually the first step before we do anything. In the kingdom of God, it's not about action. It's about being. It's not about strength. It's about surrender. It's about asking God to show up in a mighty way, especially when you don't have the resources, you don't have the capacity, you are going against an enemy that is stronger than you. It's time for us to what? To do what? Pray. And I'm still very sad that the service with lower attendance in St. John is prayer. My hope is that during the summer and up, you and I come together to start praying, because this is the only way we are going to establish a very strong, relevant church for the kingdom of God. It's based on prayer. It's not based on skills. It's not based on resources. It's not about how much money do we have in the bank. It's about how and what we have in the tank, meaning we have to pray, we have to fast, we have to spend time together, we have to be humble before the Lord, and he will show up and give us success. But my hope is that our prayer meetings become the most and the higher attended meetings in the church. If we do that, you're going to see revival all over the place. Do you believe that? But I need you. If you bring your stick from home and I bring my stick from my home and we put it together, now we have a bonfire, right? So we need you. So we cannot do it together. So every time, next time, we challenge you to come to a prayer vigil or once a month in person or 8 a.m. in the morning, that you join us, that you join us, that you are really thinking about it, praying about it, and asking God to help you to align your schedule so you can show up and you bring your body, your soul, your spirit as a conduit for God's presence among us. So that's my prayer. Now, Nehemiah did several things. He fasted and prayed before acting. And his prayer was very powerful. He was acknowledging God's covenant of love and corporate confession of sin. He was praying for his own sins, but he was also praying for the sins of the people. And here is what is powerful about this. We are very good praying for our own sins. We are not as good as praying for the sins of the people, right? So that's a principle that God is showing us. So I don't care if you did it or not did it. I don't care if you have been holy and perfect. If the body, if the church have sinned against God, it's time for all of us to ask for forgiveness because we are one body. So if a member of the church goes against God, guess what? We are all doing it. And when we are in prayer together, now we ask God to come and bless us and forgive us. So we're going to pray that God bless us, and we're going to ask for forgiveness regardless of what you did, good or bad. Doesn't matter if you were obedient or disobedient. Now, as a church, we need to ask for forgiveness. That makes sense? Okay, so let's pray. 1 minute prayer. Let's pray together. Let's pray together a confession, corporate confession prayer. Let's pray together really, really quick. Heavenly Father, we come before you, acknowledging our heart's longing and the pain we carry as a result of our journey of separation from the UMC. The journey has been challenging, and the separation from beloved members have left many wounds. These dear ones who love and contributed so much are deeply missed. Yet, we affirm our commitment to your word and truth, knowing it was your willing guidance and your power and your anointing and your word guiding our steps. Father, we seek your forgiveness for any sins committed during this challenging season, whether intentional or unintended, in our words, actions, or thoughts. We ask for your mercy. Cleanse us from pride, bitterness, or anger that may have taken root. Let our hearts remain pure, reflecting your love and grace in all we do. Renew our spirits, O Lord, and grant us the wisdom to navigate our path with humility and faithfulness. Bind us together in unity and strengthen us to serve you with renewed passion and dedication. May our actions demonstrate your love and draw others closer to you. We offer this prayer for all our church in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. So, Nehemiah prayed like that. He prayed for his brother, for his sister, for his people. We pray for everyone, and we ask for forgiveness as we continue our journey together. Now, how he was so sure that God was with them and with him as he received this assignment. Number one, the recognition of God's promises. God has promised us success. God has promised to be with us until the end of the day, until the end of the world. Prayer precedes action. He spent 4 months in prayer before moving forward. He took responsibility in God's plan. All that are elements that really bless us and give us wisdom and clarity, that there are so many promises that God is with us, that we need to take responsibility for our actions, but we need to pray and pray and pray and pray. Prayer precedes action. And as we receive this powerful principle from Nehemiah, we're going to be successful. Number two, a life that surrenders. So he was in a position of surrender with God. He was asking for favor. He was asking God for wisdom. He was asking God for direction. He was asking God for favor before men. We need to do the same thing. And surrender has some principles that we need to embrace as we keep moving forward. Number one, surrender is a detachment from all my self-reliance. It's me saying, I have no power, I have no skills, I have no wisdom. You are all powerful, you have all wisdom, you know everything. And that will connect my heart to him as a heart of flesh. And if I walk in self-reliance, my heart is going to turn into a heart of stone. Why? Because today in the 21st century, everything is about you and about me and about me and about me, and you are awesome, you are powerful, you know everything, you are God. All the stuff that you hear on the media today is actually a recipe to turn your stone in your heart into a heart of stone instead of a heart of flesh. And here is a wisdom nugget for you, and I hope you take it home. Satan strengthened my self-reliance by doing what? My weakening my faith. So this is what the enemy wants to do, and pay attention to this. In order for the enemy to turn your heart into a heart of stone, he works really hard to strengthen what? Your self-reliance. I can do it. I don't need help. I have it figured out. I have done it before. I have a friend who's powerful and can help me. I will run to people instead of running to God. All of that is self-reliance. I trust in my bank account. I trust in my friends. I trust in my job. I trust in the weather and whatever people say, and that everything is under control. I trust in the president. I trust in the country. I trust. Everything is self-reliance. That's Satan's working really hard to turn your heart and my heart into a heart of stone. Because the principle of the kingdom is a principle of what? Surrender. So God works in a different frequency than the enemy. Here is the frequency. God weakens my self-reliance by doing what? And strengthening my faith. So in other words, God is going to create situations where you are in pain, where you are tired, where you are confused, to weaken you. God wants to free you from you. In other words, that's what he wants to do. He wants you to be so weak that you have to rest in him. And when you do that, now you are in alignment with him, and now he can move in a powerful way. This is what Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In other words, he's turned every single situation in his favor. And the moment we do that, God will bless us in a mighty way. Let's say this with me together. 1, 2, 3. Can you receive that? If he allows it, he's going to turn that thing, whatever it is, into something good for your life. Now, what is the challenge? The challenge is that when I am in pain, I'm not interested in God's will. All I want is, get me out of this. But God is saying, no, I won't. Hold. Are you in pain? I am in pain with you. Are you crying? I'm crying with you. I went to the cross, but you're not moving until you grow to be a child of the living God. Until you look like Jesus, I'm not going to stop. My goal is not for you to be happy. My goal is for you to be like my son, Jesus. Imagine that. And at that moment, you want to get out. You want to get out, but he's doing what he promised he would do. He will not let you go until he finishes what he started. And God is so powerful that he has this understanding of pain. Nehemiah has pain, but pain has a purpose. Purpose-driven pain versus purposeless pain. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that when the pain produces fruits, and now you are a better person. And I know for a fact that if you look back and see those times when you suffered so much, now you can look back and see God's hands in it. Yes or no? And you can say, here, there. But at the moment, you were desperate to get out. Hello? That pain make you stronger. That pain make you a better son, a better spouse, a better daughter. That pain brought God's glory. Now, a purposeless pain is the pain when you are crying and crying, asking for forgiveness, doing it again. You are not doing anything with it. You ask for advice. You don't apply it. You are just crying, and you are just in bed people bringing you food, and everybody's ululululu, and you are there eating all day without getting up. Wow. Do you want that in your life? The first thing you need to do for someone who is in bed, don't bring them food. Let them get up. They will get up. They will get up. Hello? They will get up. Don't bring them food. They will get up. They will get hungry. You will see in the kitchen. That's the first step. Okay? So that's the thing is, you need to understand that this purposeless pain has no meaning. But God wants to use pain in our favor. And he used Nehemiah's pain in his favor. So you see all this exchange, and God is working with us. Nehemiah was walking into the unknown, but he trusted God despite the uncertainty, putting God first, God's priority above his personal comfort. Can we do that, church? Give God the priority. And I know it's challenging what I'm asking you, what we are asking you to come put shoulder to shoulder. Let's rebuild San John Community Church. Here's what I want you to do this summer. Take time to weep. Find those places. If you are sad about anything that happened, anything that was said during this transition, you know, it's okay to cry about it. It's okay to cry and say to the Lord, Lord, this is unfair. This happens. And then you get up and you keep walking. Number two, schedule regular prayer walks in your community. Go to your community. Go around. Pray for the houses. Pray for the neighbors. Pray for your family. And for a minute, stop thinking about you and start thinking about others. That's a very powerful healing tool. Then keep a prayer journal of broken situations. So every time something happens, write about it. Write about it. Take a note. Pray about it. Write about it. Pray about it. Write about it. Take about it. And then you're going to see God moving in your life. And you're going to see God doing things in a very powerful way. And now you can look back to your journal and say, oh, my goodness, this one was tough. But I remember that God's hands was with me. That's what we call cross encounters. Those events where things are so tough, you know that you cannot do it without God, but at the same time, you know he's with you, so things will be fine. Kind of like Jesus when he went to the cross. And last one, share burdens with prayer partners. Every time you have a situation, find someone and share that prayer burden with people. That means that you are what? Humble. Because when you try to take things on your own, you are saying, I don't need the church. Guess what? The Bible says the gate of hell will not prevail against the what? The church, not against you. One person don't make the church. One bird cannot bring summer to hell. So which means, this is what the Bible says, the gate of hell will not prevail against the church. It means that we need to come together to be victorious, to have success. So when you have a burden, it's time to bring it to the church. Let the church know. So every time you say, I don't want people to know, I don't want people to know, hey, you need to die to yourself. How many of you like death? How many of you like death? How many of you like to die? If you say, no, I don't like death, I don't like to die, welcome to the club. That's why we don't like discipleship. And that's why we don't like transformation. It's not natural for us, because all in the kingdom of heaven is about you die first and now you have life. In the kingdom of darkness is you live now, enjoy your life, and then you die later. That's the way, that's the opposite. So in the kingdom of heaven is die now. Die now. Die to your flesh. Die to your desires. Die. Die. And we don't like death. We don't like to die. That means that we are in the right place. But we say, God, come, weaken my flesh so I can be humble. Weaken my pride so I can connect with you. And when he has you there, that's when you start living. That's when you're now free. And God can bless you like never before. So give that priority to prayer, church. Establish prayer rhythms. Create prayer partnerships. Fast regularly. Fast. Fast. You're going to lose weight, but also you're going to be so strong in the Lord. And God will help you Tuesday is the day that we mark for fasting. So fast. You ask God. There is a breakthrough when you fast. Prayer is the first defense. Fasting is going even a higher level. So every time you have a problem and you're facing that problem and nothing changed, it's time to switch from prayer to fasting. You do that, you're going to call me and say, Pastor, now I know. You're going to see the breakthrough. So fasting is key. Spending time in the scriptures and asking God to pray and to help us to leave our comfort zones. So identify those areas, make concrete action plans, support others in ministry. And as we do that, we're going to be calling you to help us with the sprint teams and then the teams of the church and the ministry of the church. And we do that together, God will bless us like never before. But we still have places and areas where we need your help. Will you help us? And if you say yes, please show up. Show up. Because we still have all these places where we don't know what to do. And the only option that we have right now is start stopping doing things, dropping things that are so awesome. But there's no way we continue doing it if you don't have the people to do it. Does that make sense? So my hope is that you help us, and I'm going to inform you. I'm going to bring here in one of these sermons a box of the things that we are doing that are awesome. And the things that we can no longer do because we don't have the capacity to do. So for us to continue doing it, guess what? If you don't show up and you ask me again, do you remember why we're not doing Upward anymore, or why we're not doing this and that anymore? We don't have the capacity to do it. So if we are going to work together, then we can continue moving forward. And my hope is we are doing so much great things, but we need the church to come together like never before. Can we do that? By the way, don't go saying Yosmar is going to cancel Upward. That's not what I say. It was an example. Okay? I know you. So here is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I just gave you an example of the things that we are doing. In order for us to continue doing that, we need your help. So let's now come to the table and ask God to bless us and set your heart and my heart in a surrender mode. Prepare your heart for communion. And in order to save time, I'm going to ask those who are going to help me to come forward and be ready to serve communion. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord, that the Lord Jesus, the night he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and after giving thanks, he said, this is my body, which is for you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the cup of the new covenant. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Loving Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon this element. Make them for us the body and the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let's see if we can make our confessions, if we have the slide. If not, please, as you come to the table, we ask you that you confess your sins as a church. The Lord's table is open for those who love the Lord. Come forward. Amen.
Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Give us the courage to move beyond comfortable places into the calling you have prepared for us. Like Nehemiah, help us to be people of prayer before action, and grant us the strength to surrender our plans for yours. Make us instruments of your rebuilding work in this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hymnal. And we're singing verses 1 through 3.
Remember that every Sunday we're giving each one of you the opportunity to join the church as covenant partners. And everyone is welcome. If you have not gone through the covenant partner class, we can do that for you. If you are a former member of St. John United Methodist Church, that means that now as a covenant partner, you come and you renew your vows. And now you will be participating in all the governance of the church. So the door is open, but today, because it's 10:48, I'm going to ask you to go to the Welcome Center and give your name to Stephen or someone in the guest room, and then next Sunday we're going to do it properly as it is, to take time. I don't want to rush it and send you to the cross too fast. But we're going to do it well. This is important for us. Let's pray. Loving Father, I send your people in peace. May the God who steered Nehemiah's heart steer yours. May his spirit empower you to move from comfort to calling. And may his presence go before you as you step into the good works he has prepared for us. Go forth in confidence, knowing that he is the one who is calling you to be faithful. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.